good to be in church and saved this morning.
Amen. Hear me.
Wow.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Isn't it good to be saved and in church this morning?
Yeah,
hey, it's good to be in church and you're lost this morning.
Right.
Because God's giving you an opportunity.
Right.
He's giving you another chance to hear. Thank God for it. I remember those days of being lost. I remember those days and just hoping that God would give me one more chance to hear what I needed to hear, one more chance. And God in His mercy and His goodness gave me that chance. And I praise God for what He's done for my life. I thank God for what He's, you're just talking about being, looking at me and my family 10 years ago, that might not have been.
Right.
I got saved 10 years ago, 9 1/2 East Main Street, Cuba, New York.
Amen.
Under heavy conviction, a man came preaching the word of God to me.
Amen.
And I understood for the first time in my life, I seen myself not as man seen me.
Right.
Not as the correctional officers in prison would see me.
Right.
But Jesus Christ
that's right.
Showed me what I was.
That's worse.
And I seen what it took for Him to save me.
Right.
And when I seen that, brother, it was it. I understood exactly what needed to take place. I just need to come to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we try to make it complicated today. That's not a complicated thing. Salvation is the easiest thing that ever happened to me. It was getting there. Why? I had to remove all this nonsense out of my way.
Right.
I had to remove all this religious stuff out of my way.
Right.
And I had to see Jesus Christ for who He was.
Right.
I had to see my guilt. I just want to say something here today. For whatever reason, amen, I'm having a lot of problems with this. I've got a tablet up here, not for the Bible. I carry my Bible, but it makes the words bigger so I can see. I'm losing my eyesight. I turned 50 years old this year. I've gotten allergies so bad that I've almost broken my ribs. I can't see out my eyes. And so, but it's not working right now for whatever reason. And I can't figure it out. You want to come look at this real quick? But I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33.
Help me.
And I'm nervous. I'm not going to stand up here and say, I'm very nervous today. I woke up nervous, not sure why I'm nervous, but I am. Look, I'm even shaking a little bit.
Right.
Because here's the thing. There's a responsibility when a man comes to stand behind this pulpit.
Amen.
There's a responsibility for me to get that message out there clearly the way God would have it. That nerves me up a little bit because one day I'm going to be responsible. One day I'm going to have to answer for those things that I've said here. Thank you. Look, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Just scroll over.
Yep.
That's it.
Got it. Thank you.
Right.
Ezekiel chapter 33. This isn't the message, but I want to share something with you. As you know, me and my wife, we've been on the road for quite a few weeks now. It'll be over a month before we get home. But we've been on the road and we've come out of two camp meetings, if you call them that.
Amen.
And I want to share with you here for a minute because look, I want you to come here this week. How many of you prayed and fasted for this meeting expecting God to show up? Well, how many?
Amen. That's right, preacher.
How many of you said, we want God to show up? Hey, we have lost people. I know there's lost people sitting in this room. I know that. But how serious was it? Was it serious enough for us to go out there and fast?
That's right.
God, come and move in this service. God, there's lost people sitting in these pews. Would you come and move here? Did you give up those things that you would have, your comforts? Did you moan and groan and weep in sorrow knowing there's lost people that are going to be here for this meeting and expecting God to show up? Look what Ezekiel chapter 33 says here. Let me show you what most of what goes on. Look at Ezekiel 33, chapter 33, verse 30. It says, also thou son of man, Ezekiel 33, 30. Also thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and at the doors of the houses and speaking one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And inviting people to church, I want you to come and hear.
Right. Thank God, brother.
But he says, you're going to see something. He says, I want you to come and I want you to hear what the words of the Lord is.
Sir.
But well, I want you to see their hypocrisy. Look, go on here in 31, and it says, and they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as thy people, and they hear thy words. And there it is. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Their heart's going after what they want. Mm-hmm. Come here. Come hear what God has to say to you. Come hear what the Lord has to say. And they say that with their mouth, but their heart is far from them.
Right.
Look what it says here in verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song. As one of them has a pleasant voice and can play well an instrument, for the ear hear the words, but they do not do them. Why? What's going on, Zach? They come to hear the man.
Right.
Not the words of God.
That's right.
I just came out of week meetings where everybody was there to hear the men. Mm-hmm. They came night after night, faithfully. Right. Some two times a day. Some came three times a day. Brother, I sat in a prayer meeting for the first time. And I felt like I was in hell. I said, that's what hell's going to sound like. All these people are saying all this nonsense and all this foolishness out of their mouth, and not one of them got a hold of God's heart. Not one of them was praying for those lost people. Not one of them were in there praying. You know, they're praying for themselves. They're praying for their foolishness. I said, this is what hell's going to sound like. Because they came to hear the man. And brother, it didn't even bother the men. Zach, it didn't bother those men who stood behind that pulpit and looked out. And every one of those people come in and leave the same they came in and left the same they came.
Right. Oh boy.
Not one thing changed. Not one. Look at, not conviction didn't fall in that place. Then people weren't under conviction. But you know what they did? They came up and gave the man applause by what? Coming to the altar. Mm-hmm. And it changed nothing. They came to appease a man.
Right.
And didn't hear the words of God.
My man.
Look at my friends, this is what I'm telling you this week. Forget the men. Forget the men. Listen to the message. Listen to what God brings out of this Bible. Amen. Listen to it because it's your... Hey, if you're lost in here, you're playing Russian roulette with your soul.
Amen.
You have no clue when your time's going to come.
That's right.
There are people so young today, 16, 15, 14 years old, who are going to die and bust hell wide open. Did you think their time was coming?
Right.
Look, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. It says, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you are preparing your hearts this week for the word of God? How many are you going to, hey, leave here today. And above all things, go prepare your heart to hear the words of God. Go prepare your heart to come and sit in this place. Who cares about your job? Who cares about your money? Yeah. Who cares about your bills not being paid? If you're not saved here this week, guess what? Hell, you're going to bust it wide open, and guess what? Your bills ain't going to mean nothing anyway.
That's right.
I tell you this, Brother David, you know what they do? They'll set everything in order to come to this meeting and leave here the same person they've always come. Mm-hmm. What preparation was that good for? What did that do for you? Prepare your heart to hear the word of the Lord. Look at what it says here. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it.
Right.
And to teach in Israel the statutes and the judgments. You see, it takes a preparation of the heart to receive the words of God. Why? Because God wants to see, are you serious or are you going to sit there like you've always done?
Right.
Daniel says this, that he purposed in his heart.
Right.
Purposed. He made a choice. I am not going to defile myself with the things of this world. I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the laws of the Lord, and I'm going to do them. Don't come here this week to hear the men. Come here this week to see what God has done to the men.
Amen.
And the message that the men give. Listen to it for once in your life. Listen to it. Stop hearing it, because it says if you're hearing, all you're doing is deceiving yourself. Mm-hmm. You know how a person listens? You know one that you know they listened? They leave here differently than when they came in this place.
Right. That's
Christian,
right.
That ain't just for lost people.
That's right.
That's right.
That's for Christians.
Yes. Amen.
What do we come to church for? Has it become just a habit that we've gotten into?
Right.
God forbid. I just sat in meetings for 2 weeks, man. I'll tell you what. It tore me slap out the frame to see what I seen and to hear what I heard. You know why, Zach? Because people have lost the love for people's souls.
That's right.
They've lost it, brother. And those men of old used to weep for their men.
Right.
Used to weep for those people in that church.
Right.
It wasn't nothing for somebody to fast. I had a man tell me this one time. He says, please don't mention the word fast at camp meeting. Am I lying? Don't mention the word. What do you mean? That's how I get a hold of God. When I'm serious about something, I'll go there and I'll strip everything away. Nothing. It's just me and you, God. And I need you to see this. I need you to see that I'm serious about this person or serious about this decision. Or about that lost soul.
Man.
Anyway. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let me share with you here just for a minute. Just want you to know that I'm gonna break some things down here. It won't take me long, but I don't want you to worry about the time.
Amen.
To hear what God has to say this morning.
Amen.
And I want you to know this, that God, hear me out, my friends. God is in the sorrow.
Right.
Brother, but you know what? They're gonna shake that sorrow off. God forbid you keep shaking that sorrow off. And one day you're going to do it one too many times, and that's going to be it.
Mm.
Steve, I just want you to know I love you, man. I seen you out the corner of my eye. I almost started weeping, man. I'm just so happy that you're here. I love you, brother. I pray for you guys often, man.
Right.
He knows. God knows. God help us. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 3. Sorrow is better than laughter. Why? For the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. You know what the problem is? People are coming to church. Lost people are coming to church. And they've learned how to enjoy themselves. And that's all they get out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Oh boy.
How do you know that, Dale? Because they leave and come the same way they've always been. Nothing ever changes about them. Their countenance is the same. I bet you got people here you know who's lost. Their countenance hasn't changed since last week, has it? Why? It's a joy. Of course it's a joy to come into church. If you're going to hear what God is trying to deal with you on. It's a joy to come to church if you're a Christian. What a wonderful place. This is what I tell people. Church is not something that me and my family do. It's who we are.
Right.
When I got saved 10 years ago, church wasn't something I did anymore. This is who we are. This is what we do.
Right.
This is what we love and enjoy. Through the good times, the hard times, the bad times, church is where we belong and we love it.
Right.
Love hearing your family sing.
God.
That wasn't so a few short years ago.
That's right. Amen.
But God in his mercy, you see, many people get on this. Well, I made a profession. And there's no change in their life, Zach. That drives me crazy.
Right.
Thank God I serve a God who didn't leave me the same person that I've always been.
That's right.
But you know what it took for me to get there? Sorrow of the heart. Why? Because God was showing me who I was in his eyes. Let me just tell you this. When you finally see who you are in the eyes of Jesus Christ, it will bring sorrow.
Yes,
and it won't be a worldly sorrow, my friend. It'll be a sorrow that you can't explain. But Paul explains it, and we'll get into that. But he says here, sorrow is better than laughter. Would to God that people would get a hold of that and stop shaking it off. You know, Paul got bit by that viper and shook it off. That's what people are doing with conviction today. They've learned how to shake that off. We'll go to church and we'll appease our religious God. God forbid. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to see here a little bit of what Paul deals with, two different things. People don't understand it. People aren't being told this. They're not being taught that. But there is a difference. I heard a man mock this the other day. Man, I almost stood up. Man, brother. I almost stood up in a camp meeting. It had a couple hundred people in it. And I almost let it go. I almost did, Zach. I just said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. But you know what I did, brother church? I went home and I opened up a Bible and told my family it's all heresy. Let me show you the truth.
Right.
So what I did, I stood there with an open Bible. And I taught my family the exact errors that these people are talking about, the exact thing, and the mockery they're making of a Bible.
Good.
The mockery that they're taking the word of God, and they're supposed to be King James believers. Mm-hmm. Could have fooled me, Zach. Take some old fool from prison. Get me fired up. Get me fired up about the word of God.
Amen.
It's a joke today. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Look what it says here. 2 Corinthians. I got to get there myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It says this. Now rejoice, not that you were made what? Sorry. Sorry. Here's Paul writing a letter. And he's rejoicing in their sorrow. Why? Because in that sorrow, he knows God is in that sorrow. He knows that he finally got the ears of the people to hear what he has to say. And you know what? Stop shaking off that sorrow.
Right.
Allow God to bring that sorrow into your heart and into your mind. Why? Because he's trying to deal with you on that level. Why? Because he knows he has your ears. Why is it, saved or unsaved, that when we go through hard times, we are trying to be the closest to God ever? So if God kept you in sorrow, what is he trying to do? Stop shaking it off.
Amen.
Stop shaking it off. Look what he says here. But that ye sorrow to repentance. Not from it.
Right.
To repentance, Zach.
That's right.
To repentance. Sorrow is going to bring you to the point of repentance. Why? Because God is dealing with your sin nature. He's dealing with what you are.
Right.
And it's going to bring you to a place you've never been before. And I'm not talking about a profession, because I mean to say this. A profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is.
Right.
You can profess all day long, the bust hell wide open.
Right.
Didn't bring you to repentance. Repentance, a change of mind, a change of ways. Things change when a man or a woman gets saved.
Yeah.
They change.
Yeah.
Thank God for it.
Thank God.
You might not have wanted me around. Some of you could handle it when I was unsaved, but you might not have wanted me around your wife and your kids.
Right.
You wouldn't have let me in your house.
Right.
Sure wouldn't have got me an Airbnb with Cutco Knives.
Hey, no.
Who stole them?
Right.
Money, yeah. But look what he says here. He says that you were made sorrowful after a godly manner.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That you might receive damage by us nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. You know what my problem was for all those years, Miss Stephanie? I tried coming to the altar with worldly sorrow, which it says there works death. Both physical and eventually spiritual death. I was separated from a holy God, and I would have died in that thing. Imagine how my wife and kids would have felt. Me being at the pulpit here, at the altar, making a profession for worldly sorrow, and I die and bust hell wide open. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being that drunk. Forgive me for being that drug addict. That's not what the problem God has with a person.
Right.
I just want to make that clear.
I like it.
Right.
Everybody's trying to come to the altar, Miss Ruth Ann, with worldly sorrow, which works death. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. What's the difference when you know that you're a rebel against a holy God and that you're a lawbreaker against a holy God, that law will show you what you are in God's eyes? That's what brings you to repentance. Not because you were a bad boy and ended up in jail or prison. Not because you would curse your mom and dad up. That's not what God has the problem with you.
Right.
Amen.
Get people to see that difference, brother.
Amen.
I meant to say this. When God brought me to godly sorrow 10 years ago, well, you see the difference.
Amen.
Right.
It's changed my life.
Amen.
I get up off that. I get off that floor every time I came with worldly sorrow. Why, it wasn't anything different for me, Zach.
Right.
This guy told me this, and if I'd done this, God promised to change my life.
Right.
I became so bitter at God and angry. Why aren't you changing my life then?
Right.
Why haven't you changed my life, God? Oh, that's what it is. Oh, Pastor John. Oh, hello. I'm the new pastor at Black Creek Baptist Church. Look, God don't save people like me. He only saves good people. It's the first words that came out of my mouth to that man. Why? Because how many times I came to the altar because somebody told me, if you just go there and say this, if you just go there and look at this, you'll change your life. He'll make a difference in it. You know what he didn't do? He didn't change my life. Why? Because God, he lost power. He didn't, no, It had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with me. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How many times over and over again I would come to this altar mm-hmm. and confess the same things over and over again. I remember the day God finally showed me. It's not the things you see that I'm dealing with you. It's the things you don't understand. It's the thing you don't see that I'm trying to deal with you on. Mm-hmm. You know what? I couldn't hear the laws. I couldn't hear the laws of God. I was sitting in church for 4 years as a lost person. What in the world would keep a person lost for that long? Religion.
Yes, sir.
Trying to get to God through religion. Steve, I wrote more papers, more study material. I got folders stacked of stuff that I wrote. Studying that Bible as a lost person.
Right.
What will happen? God says this. He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Was he a liar?
Oh, no.
Or could it have been me?
Right.
Let me tell you the difference. Lord, you know I'm being diligent, Lord. I'm seeking you. I'm going to church. I'm being a good little boy. And yet in my heart, Amy would say, honey, come on, it's time to go to church. I don't have to go to church. Come on, you know, look, I don't have to read that Bible. Who's going to make me do that? That's me being diligent. Mm. It took me about 3 years to see that, brother. You know why? I kept looking in the wrong place.
Right.
I wasn't looking where God was trying. I kept looking in the same place over and over and over and over again. And I'd walk away lost. I'd walk away lost. I'd walk away lost. Until God finally brought me to that place where I understood, oh my goodness. Your diligence and mine are totally two different things. He was looking at my heart.
Right.
I was looking at my outward appearance.
Right.
I was looking at those things that I was doing. Mm-hmm. Not where God was trying to work with me on. But it says for godly sorrow. But you know what? How do we know this works? It says, behold this selfsame thing that you sorrow after a godly sort. You see what happens here? Something happens when this person comes to godly sorrow. It says here that you sorrowed after a godly sorrow. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, yeah. What indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. You see, when he became to godly sorrow, it changed that person. They had a different outlook. Their life was different. They dressed different.
Right.
They talked differently.
Right.
Amen. You know where that came from? Ecclesiastes.
Right.
Sorrow of the heart. The more, the Bible says, the more we know, the more sorrow we get. Why? Because the more we understand.
Yes.
Right.
The more I understood, the more sorrow I got. I said, oh my goodness, I've been looking at this thing all wrong. You see, I thank God my mom didn't bring me up in a religious home. Could you imagine how much longer? Thank God I only had a little bit of a religion behind me out of jail and prison. I remember a man doing 26 years. I work with him right now. He's done 26 years straight in prison. And when I got out of prison, my wife, she had to put me in the mental hospital because I had a hard time functioning outside of institutions. My whole life I've been in institutions, okay? Since I was a young kid, boys' homes, all the way through boys' homes, mental hospitals, rehab. Lived on all kinds of medications. I was on 10 or 15 pills a day. When I met Pastor John, I'm on zero today, just by the way. Because that's what Jesus Christ does. He changes people.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, those doctors were telling me you got all these mental problems. You know what my problem really was? My conscience.
Right.
It's eating me alive.
Right.
Amen.
Eat me alive.
You get it?
Hey, I remember when I got saved, the very first thing I remember, probably about 2 minutes after I got saved, I stood up, Brother Zach, and I said, my goodness, what is this? It's a clear conscience. For the first time in my life, I have a clear conscience.
Amen.
Hey, within 6 months, I was off all medications. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't drugging anymore. I didn't need nothing to help me to sleep. Why? Because Jesus Christ stepped in.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
He stepped in and he changed me. Hey, he hasn't stopped changing me.
That's right.
Amen.
Woo! Hey, I've been excited. I know you're half asleep. He's got you all, well, you know, wanting to fuck. You have your eyes closed. Hey, wake up!
Amen.
Amen.
It's 26 years he just did in prison. I said, Dave, I work with him. I said, Dave, How did you come out of doing 26 years and not be institutionalized? Now remember, I made a profession in prison. I said, how did you come out of prison 26 years and not have any bit of institutionalization on your life? He said, the King James Bible and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how I knew I didn't come home saved. You see, God changed that man when he was in prison.
Amen.
Well, where's Dave now? He's sitting in the church this morning. Serving Jesus Christ. Is he not, Amy? Serving Jesus Christ in a good church, a good King James Bible church.
Amen.
Why? Because somebody changed. Jesus Christ changed that man.
That's right.
You know what he's in there for? Murder, extortion. How about that? Sitting in the church today.
Amen.
Serving Jesus Christ.
That's our God.
That's a 20. That's right. Most of them guys don't come out that way. I just want you to know that. They play jailhouse religion, leave Jesus Christ at the door when they leave, and wave back at him.
Yeah, that's right.
I did it. I did it for years. I go in prison, grab a Bible, and hey, it's not a wonder the correction officers can't stand religion.
Right.
My next door neighbor is my ex-correction officer from when I was in prison. When he saw me at first, he was kind of like, what's he up? I don't worry, I've changed. I said, I got Jesus now. You know what he did? Okay.
Right.
You know why? How many years has he heard that?
That's right.
Well, let me just tell you this. Over the years, God opened doors for me and my family to be able to witness to him.
Amen.
Not only witness him, but they'd be able to help him financially. They'd be able to help them when they were in trouble.
Amen.
He said, Dale, I've been a correction officer for 25 years now. He said, you know what? I've heard a lot about this Jesus. Mm-hmm. He can put you the first one I ever seen live it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. My next door neighbor.
Amen. Brother. Amen.
Why? What is that, Zach? Because I don't just play church.
Man.
I live a Christian life on the outside.
Amen.
It's not. This isn't what I am just in here.
Right.
It's what I am on the outside. And I want people to know that Jesus Christ can change a life. I don't care where you come from. I don't care who you are. He's a life changer. But let me just tell you this. It's going to come through sorrow and much of it. You know, Jesus Christ delivered me after 15 years of opioids.
Right. Praise God,
son. I didn't have to go to a hospital. I didn't have to get put on other medication. I walked away from it within a 24-hour period. Why?
Amen.
Why is that, brother? Isn't that what he does? Isn't that what Jesus Christ does? He delivers people from those things. But let me just tell you this. He's not going to deliver you if you ain't saved.
Right.
He has to leave that in your life for you to continue to come to him.
Right.
For you to, what, look at, for you to see it. You go, man, that's awfully cruel. He's doing it out of a perfect and pure love.
That's right.
That we don't understand. Mm-hmm. How could God love me like that? Because he's drawing you unto himself. He knows how to keep you close. He knows how to keep your ear in tune to what he's trying to say. He knows what he's doing. If you knew what you were doing, you wouldn't need Jesus.
Right.
Right. Man. I'm almost done here. Just Luke chapter 10 real quick. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll start in verse 30. I'm not even in the right book. Luke chapter 10. Most of you are familiar with this story. Luke chapter 10. We'll start in verse 30 here. And it says, and Jesus said, answering, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves and was stripped him of remnant, and they wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. My friend, that's a picture of sin in the world. That's where they leave you.
Yeah. Right.
They leave you right there. Look at religious people, the world, the doctors, the physicians, they're going to leave you for dead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't care how much you run to them. Trust me, I ran to the psych doctors. I lived in mental hospitals. I lived in rehabs. Let me tell you how good a rehab worked. Zero. And never done anything good. Never. But you know what? Jesus Christ was the last resort that I ever turned to. And I just want to say this. I have to say this. The programs these nonsense fools put out here and think it's going to change their life, it's a bunch of garbage and nonsense.
Man.
I sat down with the mayor of Rochester, New York, and I said, it's a failure, these programs. She said, Mr. Moore, do you know why these programs are a failure? I said, can you please tell me? She said, because they left Jesus out of all of it.
Man.
She's a Democrat.
That's right.
She didn't even believe the same thing I believe, but she understood that
Amen.
Jesus Christ has been removed out of all things.
That's right.
That made me kind of happy that day.
Hey.
I was excited to hear that. I said, man, you sure got that right.
Amen.
Well, she just got kicked out of office, got arrested, busted in her house, found guns and drugs with her and her husband. Unfortunately. But here the world is leaving people for dead. Look what it says here. They departed and left them half dead. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. A priest is the picture of religion. My friends, religion will never help you.
No.
Pastor, religion would never change a person like me.
No.
Let me clear this up. Religion will never change a person like you.
Right.
Hey, just because I was crazy enough to live it outwardly, you live it inwardly on a daily basis. You're just as guilty as I am. You belong in prison just as well as I do. Just because you didn't physically go out there and do it, Jesus Christ says that you are guilty in your heart for the thoughts that are in your heart.
Right. Amen.
Religion. Religion's never going to help those men and women in prison.
Right.
I have to go in there and untangle all that stuff. They've got it closed down now because of COVID for almost a whole month that I've been out of there. Steve, when I get back in there, bro, that's a mess.
Yes, sir.
It's already bad enough, Zach, that when I leave that jail, I have to tell my family, hey, I'm on my way home. And my eyes are rolling back in my head, and I can barely make it home because I'm so wore out from being spiritually beat up all day long in that jail. Because I'm in that jail between 5 and 6 hours a day every time I'm there. And the darkness that is in that place.
Right.
And I come out of there wounded, and I come out of there beat up, and I come out of there wore out.
Sure.
And I have to come home and tell my family, hello, I have to go to lay down. I got to go to bed. Can't even keep my eyes open. I'm so beat up. Imagine what it's going to be like when I finally get back in. Why? Because of religion.
Right.
People pushing a religion on them. Hey, you know Jesus loves you? Hey, I had a guy tell me that before. You know what it did for me, Brother Dale? What did it do for you? Nothing. I'm going to close with this. There's two things I'm going to close with. I had a man tell me this. You ready? Professes to be saved. Doing 17 years in the penitentiary right now. And he told me this. Me and him were down. I sit down and I do one-on-one visits with these people. I sit down and I counsel them with the Bible. And it's just me and them. We sit down in the visit room and I get to spend time with these men in the Bible. Spend time with trying to help them. Trying to show them what Jesus Christ wants them to see. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him. And he's talking about programs. I said, look, man, programs are a failure. Well, they helped me. I said, oh, they helped. Okay. I said, what did they help you with? He said, well, I went to rehab 4 times. Okay. Very good. Now, I knew what he was in there for. I said, rehab helped you. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah, Brother Death. I go, what are you in here for right now? He said, well, I sold bad drugs to somebody that killed them. I said, I'm glad your rehab helped you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's what I deal with. That's what I have to deal with.
All right.
Hey, man, if you don't take praying for liberty behind bars serious, thank you for just telling me things to my face. Thank you for shaking my hand and smiling at me, but in your heart, you can't stand me.
Right.
Woo. That's reality, brother.
Yeah.
What about your pastor? What about Brother Rose? Zach, Brother Church? Good to see you. When's the last time you prayed for these men out there fighting that spiritual battle today? They're on the front line. What about that one who's crying for your soul on a daily basis? What about them that are putting themselves out there? Oh, you mean so much to me, Pastor. It's a Pastor Appreciation Month. Oh, you mean so much to me. We love you.
Preach on that.
It's reality. That's what people think about the men of God today. and they sit in their church that way.
Right.
Shame, brother.
Amen.
Shame, there used to be a day that you guys know. You guys know that day where it used to be that these men, that men would fast for you men.
That's right.
Men would pray for you men.
That's exactly
they'd
right.
encourage you men. They'd strengthen you through things. But today it's not that way. They talk behind your back, stab you. It's worse than being in a gang. I've been stabbed more in the back since I've been a Christian than I ever did in the game.
Right.
You know why they can't get help? Verse 32, the Levite is a picture of the religious duties or things we try to get to God. Read verse 32 and it says, and likewise the Levite represents the law. Represents the laws of God. And here, what happens with the Levite? He walks by. Why? Because look at it. Religious things aren't going to help you in life. Religious things aren't going to help you to get saved. But look what it goes on to say here. In verse 33 through 35 says, but a Samaritan. That's a picture of Jesus, my friend. That Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. You see, he came where he was. Hey, let me just tell you this. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is coming to you. Hey, my friend, you may stop seeking, but Jesus has not. You see where that Samaritan came to where he was. He's trying to meet you here this morning.
Right, that's right.
Love that seeks.
Yeah.
Brother, the only love that I was ever shown repelled. They repelled me. They didn't want me around. But Jesus Christ was the love. He sought me for years. He came to where I was as a Samaritan did. And he journeyed and he came to where he was. And when he saw him, he hated him. And no! He had compassion on him. He understood.
God.
Zach, Jesus Christ understood me. Mm-hmm. Society couldn't understand my functions. They couldn't understand my thinking and why I did those things that I did. Steve, but Jesus Christ had compassion. Why? Because he understands.
Yeah.
We don't have a high priest who can't be touched.
Amen.
That's right.
He understands that, my friends. And he went to him and he bound up his wounds.
Amen.
He didn't just walk by. Right. He bound him. He took those things. Hey, but you know, let me say this. You know what Jesus Christ has to do? He doesn't put a band-aid on it, Zach.
That's right.
He exposes it. He leaves it out there to the air and the sun. And he squeezes and it hurts. And it hurts so bad. When you finally start seeing what it is. Look at when God starts showing you what you are, it hurts. But you know what? If he does, if he closes that too early, nothing's happened. How do I look at? I'm done with this. Mark chapter 5. The woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. According to Levitical law, she's unclean. Leviticus chapter 15, she had to stay separate. She went beyond her time with a woman having that issue of blood. And I'm going to skip through. Look at what it says here. And she heard.
Right.
Wait, what did she do? She heard of this man Jesus. And guess what it says she did? She kicked that door down. Boom! I got to get to him. Why? Because if I get this touch from the hem of his garment,
Amen.
If I get this touch from the hem of his garment, I will be made whole.
Amen.
You see, that was her choice, wasn't it, Pastor? Wasn't that a choice, Miss Ruthann? She heard of this man, Jesus Christ, and her belief. You go study that word believe in your King James Bible. 284 times it's in the Bible. And every single time it's used, a person, when they believe that what's written in there, it demands that they do something with it. Here's the perfect example. A woman with the issue of blood heard of Jesus Christ, believed that he could do something for her, and she said, no matter what, I'm going to get to Jesus Christ. And she's thronging the people.
Right.
Why aren't they being made unclean? Because he is the law. All things are clean in his sight.
Yes, sir.
He's not going to let something unclean dirty what's about to happen. She gets to him. She gets to him.
God.
Touches the hem of the garment. Well, Brother Dale, we can't really get to Jesus' hem of the garment. Right here, my friends.
Amen.
Here's the hem of the garment.
Right.
This is where we're born again at. Through the word of God, the incorruptible seed.
Amen.
Touch the hem of his garment today and he'll make you whole.
Amen.
She gets there.
Yes, sir.
Touches. He asks, what is this? Who touched me? She gives her testimony. It was me. She did it with fear and trembling.
She understood exactly what she was in his eyes. But guess what happens? Her uncleanness leaves her body.
Right.
Here's the trade-off. His virtue goes into her.
Amen.
You see, we're not born virtuous people like other religions try to make believe, like Catholics and all. They think we can be virtuous and we can become saints and all that. Oh no, my friend, we're born sinners.
Amen.
With a sin nature. Amen. Virtue comes after salvation. That virtue went into her. Her uncleanness went into him.
Right.
Is that what Isaiah 53 talks about?
That's right.
Bearing our sins?
That's right.
Amen.
And then he tells her, woman,
daughter,
thy faith has made thee whole of thy plague.
That's right.
Not issue.
Right.
She came to Jesus Christ with an issue. She came to Jesus Christ with her worldly sorrow. You go study that issue. And that issue, 99.9% of the time in your King James Bible, is talking about an outwardly thing that happens to a person. Jesus Christ isn't worried about the outward things of a person.
Right.
He says, you've been made the whole of your plague.
Yes,
he was after that sin nature. You see, we see the issues. We see the drug addict. We see the drunk. We see the thief. We hear what they say and do. Those are the issues, my friend. Right. That plague is that sin nature that he's after.
Right.
And let me tell you this. When he gets a hold of that plague, those issues go away.
Right.
Isn't that what she came to Jesus Christ for, to be made whole? Mm-hmm. He didn't leave me half.
Amen.
He didn't leave me quarter. He didn't leave me in the hope so. Mm-hmm.
Right.
He made me whole. But you know what? It came through much sorrow, my friends. Sorrow is not always a thing that you should run from. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're saved, or whether you're not saved, sorrow is not always something we should run from.
Right.
Sorrow can be a teacher to us, right, if we'll take heed to it.
Amen.
I'm done, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen. It's good.
Amen.
I think that we diligently seek after him and nothing happens because we diligently seek after him with our issues.
Yes, sir.